Okay, we are at Crane Christian Church, and it is time for the sermon. Yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you. Sharice ain't here, so you had to do that, didn't you? I appreciate it. No, I'm serious. I mean that. I need all, God puts people in my life for a reason, okay? To kind of point me in the direction, like every once in a while I get a little turn around, you know, shocking revelation. So, Matthew chapter 16, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And I did about a 5 or 6 minute little share time last night on Facebook and kind of introduced this sermon. And I want to tell you that it's interesting to me. Of course, timing is everything. But in my life right now, and this coming up right here, so I hope this speaks to you the way it spoke to me this morning, and just by the anointing, you know, it will. So the Pharisees have, Sadducees, or the scribes and Pharisees have fussed about the hand washing. He continues to heal people, continues to provide food. Of, they had 5,000 one time, and another time, the multitude, he feeds them, and 4,000. So you got 9,000 people, not counting the children and the wives. And Pharisees and Sadducees didn't come in 16 and say, don't you see this? I want to see a sign from heaven. This isn't enough. I just want you to imagine that. God's been so good to us, and we say, well, you know, we need more. But Matthew 16 and 13 is where we're at today. So, literally, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. The others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then, here's the question that I'm asking you this morning. Okay, this is your question. But who do you say that I am? The whole world is going to do what the whole world does. And interesting to me, I have seen a kind of a shift in the last 2 years or so where people who are high visibility celebrities, instead of saying that, you know, God has been good to me, which is a good thing, okay, to say that, they literally say, recently, and I'm not going to name any names, it's none of my, that's between them and the Lord, but they literally said these words, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for who I am and what God's done, and for saving me, and these people are people that if you saw them at the grocery store, you go, ooh, I better back up from them. But I love that, man. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That we know that we need a Savior. Yeah. Yeah. So 16 and 13 says this, who do men say that I am? Some people say, well, Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, a prophet. But then we say, who are you saying? And Simon Peter, remember the name Simon means listen or hearing. Listen or hearing. I want to tell you something. If you will pay attention this morning, and I don't mean to me, if you're watching, pay attention, but I'm saying if you'll pay attention to what's going on in this world, if you'll pay attention and you listen, God is speaking to his people right now. And he's saying these words. He's saying, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
That's who Jesus is. Where is Jesus in your life? Who do you say he is? What's his place in your life? And Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, which remember what Peter means. He gives him this Greek name, and it means rock, Petros. It means hard, okay? And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, in other words, the gates of death, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And the last scripture in this portion we're going to read this morning. And he commanded his disciples, they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now we've got some points to hit about this morning, okay? Here's the deal. When he says, you are Christ, when Peter says, you are Christ, he is saying these words, you are the long-awaited Messiah. Okay? Now, okay, I want you to get this picture of where the Jews were at this time. They are in captivity. Their politics are a mess. Okay? They are essentially in captivity. Okay? They're not captivity, but their nation is under the rule of Rome. Okay? All of this other stuff is going on. All of this isn't, they're not at their prime. Okay? They're not at their prime. Okay? So the Messiah had been taught for years that he was going to come and deliver Israel, right? Okay, so they're looking for this Messiah to roll in there and lop off some heads and sit on the throne and the Jerusalem start. That's the Jewish view of what the Messiah was going to do. You follow me? Okay, so when he says, you are the Messiah, that all of that goes with that. It's like me saying, when I'm talking about something and I have a background in it, and that comes with all of that. And guys, watch this. It means you are the Messiah. Not a Messiah, not a leader, not a prophet. You are the Messiah. And that word also means you are the, not a, the anointed one. You are the anointed one. So I want to tell you that receiving Christ for who he is, the Son of God, and as he spoke those words, as he said, Lord, you are my Messiah, you are my Savior, the first off, that is the point for today. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He's the soon coming King. And how many of you know it didn't look like Peter thought it was going to look? Come on. Is that true? But literally, guys, as that happened, watch this. Then immediately after he says this, he says these words. This is a supernatural thing, you understanding this. God told you this. This is not because you're so smart. And I want to tell you, when you get into Romans, when you get into Paul's writings, you start hearing these words, chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. Guys, if you're listening this morning and this is ringing a bell in you and this is speaking to you this morning, that's a supernatural event that occurred before you were born. You were chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. And you go, well, what about everybody else? Listen, I'm not saying everybody's not chosen, selected, pure. What I'm saying is the Spirit's talking to you, and that's what the Word of God says. And if you recognize him as the Savior, that's a gift. Say, thank you for gifts.
Thank you for gifts.
Hey, I'm thankful for gifts. I appreciate it. I appreciate being part of God's plan and him speaking to me. But B of the first point is this, or actually the second point is this, is there is immediately Jesus begins to speak about power, doesn't he? And you go, Bruce, you know, all the miracles were done away with, blah, blah, blah. No, that's just not true. It's just not true. I cannot tell you the amount, the number of times that God has done something and had me somewhere at exactly the right time where this person's going through this and this person. I mean, literally, it happened this last fall where I was there to, in the hospital to visit somebody that they need, God, they were on my heart, and I got gone up there, and I was in the waiting room, and somebody walked out of the door that I was about to go into, and they looked at me, and I looked at them, and they said, "How did you know?" I go, "Know what?" She said, "About my dad." I said, I don't know. I what? She told me, and while I was there, I was able to go in and pray and seek God with him, not the guy that I went there to see. I got to pray with both of them and be with the families. But the point being is, you say, "Oh, that's a coincidence." There's no coincidence in God's kingdom. There's zero coincidence. Me running into people, me over and over and over, those divine appointments that God does, and he does the same thing in your life. He's not a respecter of person. And if he was picking out somebody that was smart and super spiritual, that he would have picked out somebody else, okay? But look what it says. "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." The keys. Now watch. As you look at that, you say, "Well, what does that mean?" I'm going to tell you what it means. After he went back, he said, "I want you guys to go to Jerusalem and wait until the power comes from on high." You remember that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. These guys go, they get in the upper room, they wait, they pray, and 40 days, which is the day number of completion, right? 40 days later, revival falls. And you said, "Bruce, you're trying to..." No, listen to what I'm saying. We have culturally, we have put our culture on top of, or our religion on top of the Word of God. Let's take our culture off for a minute. Let's just look at it. What it means is, he says, he literally said, go into the... Jesus is standing there before he goes back to the Father. He says, before I go, I need to tell you this, okay? I want you to go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every living creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Does he say that? And I'm going to tell you something. He gives us the power to do that. We always think, "Oh, now I got power. I can do this and I can do this." It's not for you. It's for the kingdom of God. Okay? And just like we were talking about earlier today, you know, as we follow the Father, we do get blessed. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, there is power in recognizing, believing, and walking with Jesus. Okay? And if you have any questions about whether Jesus, what he was talking about, think about the fig tree. He's walking along. He's going to show them an example. He reaches down to get a fig, and it don't have any figs on it. And he speaks to the tree. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "You're never going to bear anything again." And he laid, and nothing happens. They look at that and they're like, "Well, that was weird." Okay, that, I don't know what they thought, but I was not there. But that, when I read that, that's what I think. That's weird. And they came back the next day, and what's happened? It's dried up. It's dried up. And they said, "Well, that was the one that you cursed yesterday." And as I look at that, we always think that, you know, I told you what my ministry model was. I was going to pray for people, they were going to fall down, they were going to get up fixed. Because it's quick, it's efficient, you know, then I can go eat lunch. You know, but here's the deal, guys. That's not, literally, there's time involved. There's all these things. But the fact that he spoke that into existence and then the fruit followed that, I want to tell you that as he says these words, he says, "You can speak to these mountains and cast them in the sea." And there, he's not talking about you doing remodeling around your yard. Okay? There are mountains that are keeping us from being where God's called us to be in our life. There are hills, and I love the "Prepare You the Way of the Lord," and it was a song that I wrote years ago. But the point is, I was actually singing at it earlier this week. I was sitting in here, by myself and worshiping God and praising Him. And I'm going to tell you something. What it literally says is valleys will be brought up and mountains will be brought down. And so to prepare the way for the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you've got mountains in your life, let's say it's a mountain of greed. Let's say it's a mountain of lust. Let's say it's a mountain of fear. Let's say it's a mountain of whatever, of sickness. Begin to speak to that. Because He says that's what the power that we get by following Jesus. Okay? And then right here, it gets very interesting because we like the smooth, gentle Jesus light, don't we? We like Jesus light. We like Jesus. Listen, I don't want to take away from the precious grace and mercy and love of Jesus. But guys, watch this. He says these words. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. How vicious is that? Seriously, guys. How, and I don't mean that Jesus was being vicious. I'm talking about the death, the sacrifice that it took. And guys, here's the deal. He literally, immediately, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Get this. This is important. I love Peter, by the way. I love the disciples. I love them all because they were men. They were being screwed up like that we are. Okay? But watch this. He takes Jesus aside. Far be it from you, Lord, if this shall not happen to you. This will not happen to you. But He, being Jesus, turned and said these words to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Is that what He says?
Yes.
You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Now listen to me, guys. This is a very important point. And this is a point that I have to keep before me all the time. Does that make sense? This is a stumbling place for me. Now watch this. I was raised in strict legalism. Okay? I had good parents, great teaching, but strict legalism. And I guess the theme song was, God's going to get you for that. Okay, I don't know. But the point being is this, guys, what's this? Literally, Jesus has just said, who do you say I am? He says, hey, you're the Messiah. And their picture of the way this looked was, remember, at some point, the disciples are behind them arguing about who's going to sit closest to him, and, you know, who's number two, who's number two, you know. The other one, another time, they send their mama to tell them, say, hey, now, you remember in your kingdom, you remember all that? And He says literally something like this. He's like, I don't think you want them on the cross beside me. He didn't say cross. He didn't say crucifixion. But He's saying, I don't think you know what you're asking about, right? Are you following me? Okay. That dumb motorcycle just went by and distracted me. It's all their fault. Okay. But anyway, but the point being is this. Watch this. He literally is saying, this is what it takes for this to happen. And Peter, I love Peter. So don't think I'm saying, oh, you'll get, you know, no, I love Peter. But then Peter says, Lord, this ain't, no, this don't fit my pattern of the way this is supposed to look this way. And I want to tell you, we had a pattern through the 50s and the 40s and the 60s in the 70s and the 80s of, listen, these are the bad people, these are the good people, bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people, this is the way this works, this is the way this works. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is literally saying here this day, He's saying, you know what, I'm going to have to die on the cross because there ain't no good people. Now, that's not the words He used. It took the payment of blood of his only begotten son to wipe away our sin. Now, my sin might be this little, mine's only a 2 on the 1 to 10 scale, because you know, I'm a pretty good guy. Your scale, yours may be a 3, so that makes me a little, you see how that builds pride? Just read the writings of Paul. He's very clear about it. He says, oh, you know, you don't do this, I don't do this, and that, oh, that'll build pride. That's what religion does. I'm a little bit better than you because I don't wear them beards. That's the way they can't tell the difference between praise God because they got the beards on their faces. But the point being is this. Literally, Peter doesn't get the point. And Jesus was very firm. I can't listen to this kind of talk. Get behind me. The very man he's just told, I'm going to build my church on that rock that you are. Is that what he just said? He had to carve that rock out a little bit because he thought he had it all figured out. If you think you've got it all figured out, I'm going to tell you something. I saw grace. And when you see real grace, you realize when you see the purity of God through his words, when you see the purity of God of being in his presence, I'll never forget my dad went to this huge revival. There were people getting saved everywhere. There were people, they had a nonstop baptismal service. It was the most beautiful thing. I say nonstop every night or maybe every afternoon or whatever. It was just kept going, baptisms, and the church was, had thousands of people waiting in line to get into church. The presence of God was so strong. And Dad came back from that revival. And I said, Daddy, well, what'd you learn? And this is a man who I never saw even compromise in the least area of his life. He said, I found out how dirty I am. Because I saw what clean was. I was in the presence of the Lord. I saw how precious and clean and how beautiful that God is. And he said, I've had a lot of pride. He said, my righteousness is as filthy rags, which is, he's quoting scripture. Okay. But guys, watch this. Literally. As the whole Messiah thing, his timing was off. Because, see, the sacrifice had to be made. And I want to tell you, Jesus himself said, don't take away from what I'm about to do. You're an offense to me. You're not mindful of things of God, but you're thinking of the things of men. And that's guilty right here. Guilty. I can be very guilty of that. And so, here's the deal. He said, verse 24, then Jesus says to disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his work. Assuredly, I say unto you, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man in his kingdom. So, 21 and 23, he talks about the payment for sin. He's going to suffer. He's going to actually die. And then what he does not, he does talk about raising on the third day, and that resurrection is the proof. It is the stamp of the power and of what he's done. And literally, he says, far be it from you. I will not let this happen. And here's the deal, guys. We always think we got it all figured out. We do not have it all figured out, do we? But I'm going to tell you something. God does. And I want to tell you what the veneer of religion does. How do you guys know what veneer is? Okay, you take something, pasteboard or whatever, okay, and you cover it with something that looks like something else, either wood or something like that, and it looks like it is completely that, but it's the veneer. Religion, your ability to do this or to do that or do this like this or do that, listen, do the best you can because it does, it matters, guys. But that is a veneer. That becomes our pride, our veneer. Look at us, look at us, look at us. But here's the deal. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Revelation 7:10, it belongs to the Lord and the Lamb. Psalms 3:8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Revelation 19:1, it belongs to the Lord. John the Baptist, John 1:29, he says when he sees Jesus coming, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Did he do that?
Yes.
Did he do that? If he did that, then I want to tell you, we've missed the point. Because we are all worried about the small things, when in fact the Bible says that hell is enlarging itself because so many people have missed the point that he is our Savior. And I want to tell you, this veneer, when you take a solid piece of oak, let's just say a piece of oak, and it's a 2x4 of oak, and I'm going to come up, I'm going to show you how strong I am. I'm going to do my kung fu, okay? And I hit that, and my hand breaks, okay? The board doesn't, okay? On the other hand, you take a veneer board that's got this pretty oak covering on it, and if you put sawdust, press sawdust in the middle, you know, I could come up and I could do that, and you say, oh, he broke it. But the truth is, it's just a veneer. And what happens under use, and life is use, as we use to something, that veneer begins to peel back, and then they see really what we are. Does that make sense? And here's the deal. I want the real thing from God. And in verse 20, so as he's telling the story, as he says, as back to verse 16 and 20, as he's talking, he literally says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples not to tell anybody. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because timing is everything. I'm telling you guys, you know, it's just like this. I'm a teacher, and I've been teaching a very long time. I'm not that good at it, but I've just been doing it a long time. But here's the deal, guys. I don't want somebody to teach me how to swim that's never been in the pool or the ocean or pond or something, okay? You see what I'm saying? I mean, most of us have been in a bathtub, but so far I've not had to swim in the bathtub, okay? But I want to tell you, the person that teaches me how to swim, I want to see them, just because they got a pretty swimsuit, which I do not have, by the way. I think I'm still wearing the same one from the 80s. But I can swim. I think it was last year that was with my brother and their party barge or whatever, and we got out there, and I'm still swimming, okay? And I taught swimming at one point. I had a swimming class, and I was a lifeguard and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, we have a lot of people, well, you know, this is the way, and they've never been in the pool. And it doesn't mean that their techniques are not, you know, accurate, but guys, literally, he is calling us to get in the pool and to do and to see and to be what God's called us to be. And but he didn't want him, he didn't want them to tell anybody, because I want to tell you, he had some things to do, some things to say before he was crucified, and that would have sped up the process. Does that make sense? You know, at one point, they tried to make him king because they were believing it. They had part of the story right. He's the Messiah. They tried to make it. He said, no, no. And he left. Okay. Remember another time they were going to try to push him off a cliff. They're going to try to kill him. No, no, can't do that either. It's that time. He just walks back through. Because God, he knew that God's timing is everything. And I'm going to tell you, I'm always in a hurry. Anybody else in here always in a hurry? Some of y'all in a hurry right now. Would you hurry up? But anyway, but here's the last point, guys. All joking aside. The last point is this. I was in remote Turkey in the 70s, fasting, praying, calling out to God. Two things came from that. One was this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be added unto you. Because all this other stuff occupies our hearts and mind 90% of the time. Are y'all listening? It's some problem. It's some this. And when you say the kingdom, let me tell you something. I'm not talking about, you know, bringing your Bible every week and getting a gold star. I'm talking about the kingdom. Everybody, if you're at home and you're not by yourself, look around you with the other people. All y'all in here, just look at each other. Just look at least one other human being. Okay? That's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first being the man or woman God has called you to be, and all of these other things will be added unto you. And I don't mean, you know, me trying to make Lauren a better person. You know, I've given up on that. It's all about the guy that I shave. It's all about me. It's all about literally me being the man that God's called me to be. And as that happens, all these other things are added on to me. And here's the deal, guys. It does not, many times it does not look like we thought it was going to look. Does everybody get that? It does not look like we thought it was going to look. The other thing that came from that is that this would happen, and I wouldn't understand it. This would happen, and I didn't understand it. This would happen, and then, but listen, all things are working together for your good. And you got to remember how God sees things. He sees yesterday, today, and forever. He's already there and forever. And some of it is torturous, feels torturous. Some of it is great. Some of it's celebrating. Some of it's grieving. But the truth is that all things are working together for their good. Two things, and I'm done. There are two things that I am, and I'm not very good at either one of them. I'm serious. It's your dispositions. One of them is I'm a father. God showed me this 2 weeks ago. I'm praying, crying to God. Because I've got this whole database that I've been working on about how God intervened in this, and God intervened in this, and God did this, and God did that. I think someday it'll probably be a book. But all of a sudden, just instantly, I just saw the umbrella of the whole thing. And that is this. He said, you know what? You're praying that prayer every week. You're missing the point. Because I'm asking, I'm seeking. I'm like, but listen, our Father who art in heaven. What's this? A father, a good father, and I'm an average to poor father, but on my worst day, on my sorriest, most selfish, stupid day, don't use that word at home, children, you'll get in trouble. I don't want anything bad for my kids. Come on. Am I telling the truth? You know my kid. I want the very best for them. On my most selfish, on my most on my most irritating day, even to myself. And think about God the Father. He wants the very best for you. Are you listening? Okay, now, the other thing that I am is a husband. Okay. And I'm a dumb husband. Okay. I'm a poor husband. Okay. I try. But here's the deal. On my most selfish, on my most stupid day, I want my wife, I want everything wonderful for her. Now, if that's the way I am, can you imagine God? And we put him in this box of, he's up there throwing down lightning bolt. Listen, he says, when you come to me, just realize I'm your Father who is in heaven. Just remember, when I'm coming back, when Jesus comes back, what's he coming back for? His bride, the church. Guys, just want you to know that he's your Father. He's your husband. He loves you and wants the very best for you. He is your kinsman. He is your redeemer. Who redeemed Ruth, who had nothing, who brought her to him. He has redeemed us. He loves us as a dad. Listen, you say, well, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. But here's the deal, I'm done. But just realize that he loves you this morning and his desire is the very best for you. So bow with me this morning. Lord, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are our Messiah, Lord, which will reign forever here on earth, Lord. But right now, please reign in me. Let me be the man you've called me to be, God. You are the anointed one, Lord. And Father, as I receive you, Lord, as I bring you close to me, as I follow you, Lord, help me to walk in the power, Lord, that you've given me, the power of the tongue, Lord, the power of the Spirit, the power, Lord, to be the man you've called me to be, Lord. Help us to do those things, God. And Lord, help us know that your timing is not always our timing, God. We want everything now. We want everything to be comfortable. We want all this, God. And that's not the way that it happened in your life, Lord. And that's not the way it'll happen in ours. But Lord, this morning, we seek you first. And we know that all these other things, Lord, will be added to us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that everything that's happened, that's going to happen, is working together for our good, your bride, your children, Lord, those of us who have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. And if you don't know him this morning, if you're watching online or you're here this morning, just say these words, I need you, Lord. I need a Savior. Redeem me, O God. Forgive me for my sins. Let me be the man. Let me be the woman that you call me to be. I call on the name of the Lord. Every time in the Bible that they called on the name of the Lord, he came. He is faithful to you in the middle of your unfaithfulness. He has paid the price for you. And Father, thank you for these people. Thank you for this church. And thank you for this day. You are so good to us. In Christ's name. Amen. Have a great day.